Welcome to Church of the Living Word, featuring Senior Pastor Audie Claremont.
Now, what I share today is if you've been through where families have broken up and you've been through divorce, I want you to understand something. It's never too late to have family. Never. God always has a way of bringing healing and restoration into our lives, into our families we're with, or whatever it may be. But what I want to share today is that we begin to understand how important there are some things that we need to look at, that we need to get the enemy out and get more of God in. Amen? So let's look at this. What should the family look like? Sometimes we don't know because we're so used to seeing what it is instead of what it could be. Does that make sense? So let's just open up and ask the Spirit of God just to touch us. Open our ears, Holy Spirit, and our minds to receive. Let us put this into action in our families, in our lives, Lord, and help us to be the best we can be for you. Lord, I know that many times we as husbands, as mothers, as fathers, as wives, as children, we have all missed it. We've all failed. But Lord, this is not about condemnation, but this is about restoration. This is the time of restoration, Lord, in America, in our families, in our churches. Lord, this is restoring time. And Father, we thank you for the restoration that is going on in the hearts of your people. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at a few things here. Oh, thank you. Thanks, Diane. Oh, thank you, Tabitha. A little bit of lemon helps. Oh. No, that's all right. I'll just set it right here. Thank you. So let's think about this. When 9/11 happened in the Twin Towers, we had the pilots that took over the plane. They went to our schools in America and were taught how to fly. And you think nobody suspected anything. Who would have? When 9/11 happened that day, do you remember where you were? I do. I was going to the bank in St. John's, and I remember when I was going there, I was just about to the bank, I heard it on the radio. And then so I went over to Clayton Kim Morris's house, which was close, and I ran over there to make sure I could watch it on the TV and see what was going on. That was a very devastating time, very devastating. But it was a wake-up call in America that America was not a place that we should take for granted, but we should have God more than we've ever had God before. But you'll notice the planes, they didn't hit the foundation because they could have never got down to the foundation anyway because of the buildings. But when they went into the buildings, you know this was all planned out because they knew if they could get into the middle of the building and crash in there, that the heat, they knew the heat would melt everything. They knew everything about the building. They studied it. And they knew that these floors would collapse. Who would ever thought that those floors were going to come down like they did? But when you want to drop something down, you always go to the foundation. Always. You see buildings on TV that people, they'll take them and then they'll all of a sudden they'll put the dynamite on the pillars all around there and blow the building. And it's funny how the building doesn't go to the left or right, back or forth, but it goes straight down. And there could be other buildings around, and they're not even affected by it. But that's how the enemy is. If he's going to aim for something, he's going to aim for the foundation in our life, and that's family. The enemy's going to aim for the foundation, and he's going to shoot high against the family. And that's what it's. So write this down. The first point I want to give you is faith should always be passed down the family line. Faith should always be passed down the family line. What legacy are we leaving our families? What legacy have we left our families? Like I said, it's never too late in God to change the legacy we leave to our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and all the way down the lineage. Many of us have been had families that it started with you, where you had to be the one to carry the lineage of faith all the way down in the family, because maybe your parents didn't do it, or maybe their parents didn't do it, or their parents. And so we have generations of people that never carried the faith all the way down to the lineages. And it's up to us in this place today, and those listening on Streamline right now, it's up to you to make the change. It's never too late to make the change. It starts with us. It starts in our hearts, and it starts with us. So faith should always be passed down the family line. Now, some of you may not realize it, but you have had ancestors and people that were people of faith that maybe you discovered through your heritage, your family tree, or whatever. I know that, you know, my brother Rodney did a lot of research on our ancestry, and he did a lot of studying on that, and that's fine. I said, good for you. I'm glad you're doing it, because I really don't care. But but it was remarkable, some of the things that are in our family tree all the way down. People of faith that even had written books in our family about God. And then you have the other side, where you have the satanic side, or the people that want nothing to do with God. And so you have these lineages on both sides coming all the way down the family tree. And so we call them generational curses. And we talk about breaking those generational curses in order that they will not continue down the family line. And we're the only ones that can break those generational curses with our mouths. And take authority and say, Lord, I break every generational curse that's been passed down our family line. Because God said this in the Old Testament, that the sins of the fathers and mothers are passed down to the third and fourth generation. That means they keep continuing. As I was reading the book of Kings, I was reading about all the kings that did evil in the sight of the Lord. They kept the altars up. They kept all the Asherah poles and all these idols up before God. There was a few people in Kings that served God with all their heart. Now, when you think about this, they were passing this down from generation to generation to generation. Now, I don't want to get into the generational thing. That's another time to talk about breaking generational curses, and I have shared that before many times years ago. But I believe the time's coming that I need to share that, because there's some things that need to be broken that we don't realize that the enemy himself tries to bring back in. But here's the thing. What lineage do we want to leave for our children? What do we want to leave to our grandchildren? You know, we're every one of us are guilty of overlooking the fact that God created the family before he created the church. He created the family. That was Adam and Eve. They were created in the garden. It was God's intent all along that one's faith, or their faith in God, or their heritage of God in their lives be passed along generational lines. And so let's look at Deuteronomy 6:4. When I was reading this, this is such a powerful verse right here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, the only Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind, all your heart, with all your entire being, and with all your might. Now here we see in Deuteronomy that God was speaking to Israel. When God speaks to Israel, he's speaking to us too. No different, because remember Paul said, he said, a Jew is one inwardly, not outwardly, but that has a circumcised heart because of Jesus being Lord and Savior. So we're grafted in, we're brought together. Every person on the face of the earth has to have to make a decision to accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior. But here's what he says. You're going to have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and every part of your being. Verse 6 says, and these words which I'm commanding you, everybody say commanding you, this day shall be first in your own minds, in your hearts. Then You shall whet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate, and teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and the hearts of the adults. Children. Do you notice how it says that you shall whet and sharpen? That means there's different ways of ministering the gospel to different people. However it takes to reach your child, to minister to your child, is the way that you get it into their heart. And that's what he's talking about here. He said, teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of the children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk away. What do we talk about in our homes anymore? Are we in strife all the time? Are we in drama all the time? Or what are we doing in our homes? There's so many homes that are so full of drama. I'm just not into drama. I try to stay away from drama. I know you do too. Okay. But drama, and there's strife, and there's contention. I mean, it's just on and on. That cycle keeps going and going and going. It's like it never stops. Unless you stop it. Unless you do something about it. So, but he says, when you lie down and when you rise up, so it's a continual command of the Lord that we keep faith in the homes at all times, every time of the day. And there's ways of doing that without preaching all the time. That's not what I'm saying. It's even living your life. Living your life before your family and beginning to make them understand who you are and who Jesus is in your life. From this passage, it's clear that God places a high value on the family. Imagine for a moment what it would have been like to live in a home that hosted several generations of the same family. Some of you can relate to this. The concept of passing biblical faith to the third and the fourth generation becomes much more understandable when you consider that parents and grandparents shared meals and performed daily tasks together, and there was family together. What's happened to the family is the enemy has just separated, and everybody's going their own direction in their own way. And I can say one thing, is that every Sunday when we leave church and my children, my grandchildren come over, we sit down and we just enjoy the fellowship and have a meal together. Some families, those days are gone. And they're missed. And there's a lot of times people say, you know what, we wish that we had that back again. People say, I wish we had that family time where we prayed and we grabbed hands and we prayed before we ate and we just blessed the family, we blessed the meal, and we blessed each other. Those are things that we that a lot of people miss and that we need to bring back in to the home, and we need to understand what God is doing in our families today. From birth, children in households like this learn the stories. They learn doctrines of faith while sitting around the dinner table. Each evening, by working in the fields daily with older family members, in doing so, children learn to both love God and to love others with all their hearts. This cycle of biblical mentoring was repeated as new generations came along, and it kept being instilled into the hearts and lives of the people. When you go to Israel today, this is what is very strong in their families. Very strong. When you have a meal in that home, I'll guarantee you, you're going to have scripture, you're going to have something that they bring God into all the time. Other countries, the same way. Very family-oriented. But in America, we have allowed the enemy to come in and to split families. Everybody's going their own way. And it's time to see the family come back together again like it should. As a result, we still talk about movements of God from thousands of years ago. Even with the beginning of the church in the New Testament, we see as it was in the days of Moses in Deuteronomy. Listen, I believe that the family remains the foundation from which to build. I believe that. Write this down. The restoration of the godly family needs to be brought back. I believe that. I believe that there's things that we're going to have to do in order to see change. I'm not talking about preaching at your kids, your grandkids, or preaching at one another. But what I'm talking about is there are some things that you're just going to have to do. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. The compromise has got to go out, and the trust and the faith has to come in. Because in order to see change, that we have to be the ones that bring the change in because of who we are in God. Let's look at Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Now, I've had a lot of people say this scripture is just about money. No, it's not about money. It's more than that. This scripture has to do with training up in the child the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Now, look at the New Living Translation. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Now, we know, how many know, that our children, we raise them the best we can. We put God into them the best way we know how. We've taken them to church. We've done everything we know to do, and they still go their own way. But those days, let me say this, those days in the time we're living in are coming to that place where God is going to gather the kids back together to the fathers and the mothers. I believe that. I believe we're in the time that those that have walked away, they know right from wrong, but they can't get rid of who God is and what God's done in their life. It just doesn't leave that easy. The Holy Spirit takes those things and he plants them so deep in our hearts that we're stuck for eternity. We're stuck for eternity. And so if you have children or grandchildren or people you know that have walked away from God, don't fear. We just pray and we're believing God that that person will come back to Jesus and serve God. We feel like sometimes we're bad parents. We feel like that we miss God. We feel like we've made so many mistakes and we didn't do it right. But when you really go back to God and say, God, this is bigger than me. This has to be you. God always comes through. Now, I realize people have a choice. I realize our sons and our daughters and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, everyone has a choice. They have to make their own decisions. But as believing people in God, trusting the Lord, we have power in our prayers to override the enemy and to allow the Holy Spirit to work in their hearts to draw them back to God. Don't quit praying, but keep praying for them. Keep praying and speaking over them that they are the redeemed of the Lord, and we say so. Amen? They're redeemed of the Lord, and we say so, and we cover them with the blood of Jesus. The Good News Bible says, teach children how they should live, and they will remember it all their life. I like what the Passion says. Dedicate your children to God and point them in the way that they should go. The values they've learned from you will be with them for life. So what values are we leaving our kids? There's a lot of bad values out there. Yeah, parents are telling their kids, well, you never amount to anything. You'll never go anywhere. And then they wonder why the kids turn out the way they do. And they wonder why the kids won't have anything to do with them. It's so tragic to hear story after story of people that have had tragic family lives because of something that they never instilled in their life. But they instilled the negativity, but not the positive in their life. In a day where the family has deteriorated and sometimes the church is even losing its influence on society, this simple passage we just read here holds several keys to restore family back to the purpose for which God intended it to be. The question is whether or not we are willing to do what it takes to see the change happen. That's up to you and me. There's four things we're going to look at real quickly. Number one, the responsibilities of the home and family. What is our responsibility as parents, as grandparents? What's our responsibility as leaders, as teachers, as those that are in authority. There's a lot of things that we need to look at here. The phrase that we talked about, train up or raise up a child in the way he should go, raise up, is not written as a suggestion. Rather, people, it's written as a command. Now, I want you to see something here. It's a command that has three very different meanings here. When you look at the word train up, write this down. A, it means to put something sweet in the mouth of babes. You know what that means? One of the responsibilities of the home is to create positive ways and ideas to bring the Bible alive in your children so they can understand and they can grow in their faith. You're not going to sit down with your kids and all of a sudden open up the King James Bible and you're going to read it to your little kid because he's going to look at you like, what are you talking about? Now, we can understand it, but you're going to have to get a children's Bible or something that they can understand. So Candy and I ended up getting children's Bibles, and we ended up reading to our kids stories and different things like our grandchildren, and they grew up understanding these stories. But I couldn't go in there and start preaching into the three doctrines of the Holy Spirit or this and that. They're just not going to get it, and they're not going to grow in their faith. So we got to find something sweet to put in their mouths. And sweetness is something so simple to them that they like the taste of it. But if you give them something else, they can't taste it. Do you know what the Bible says? Taste and see that the Lord is good. That's a scripture. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So if that has to do with us tasting to see if the Lord is good, how much more for the children? So we see something here. Yet we're not talking about compromising biblical faith in order to make a child believe or understand. We're not talking about that. It instructs parents to teach their children that God and faith are never to be abandoned. Never. B, it means to build an altar. At this point, it's worth noting that it's important for the writer of Proverbs. We're talking about Solomon here. Here's a phrase in reference to the family that it reflects all the way back to the Jewish people in the temple. After all, the temple was considered to be the highest and holiest place in Jewish history. So God is placing the family at the same level, that everything one brings into the home is to be placed on the altar as if it were an offering to God. What are we bringing into the home to our children? There's a lot out there. And you know what? There's sometimes you just got to say, no, it ain't happening. Some of the arcade games and some of the all that stuff, it's just subconsciously injecting things into our children. And there's just some things you just got to say, you know what, we're not going to do that one. And you got to filter it and you got to go through it. And you can't raise your kids up on that stuff. See, and that's what's happened in America today. And you know what a babysitter is? It's that computer, the iPad, or the phone. That's the babysitter. And we let our kids live on those things and be on those things and just to keep them out of our hair. That's what's happening. And then we wonder why we're having the problems we're having. I believe people, as parents, we need to monitor some things. I'm not saying everything's evil and bad. I'm not saying that games that they're enjoying are not bad, but the thing is, it's time that we monitor some things and say, no, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. And if they get rebellious and they say, well, we don't like it, just stand your ground. This is the way it is. It's just the way it is. Why? What we're trying to do is bring back the thing that's so important, that altar, bringing that altar back into the house, bringing that place of sacredness. And everything that's brought in at home is placed on the altar as it were an offering to God. Now, write the next one. See, finally, the phrase also means to dedicate. When we dedicate our children, we surrender them to God. This is another meaning that comes from the temple. The process of dedication in the temple was brought to the mind of every priest would prepare in the Holy of Holies for a time of sacrifice. they would purify the temple and everything in the temple as symbolic practice of honoring God's holiness. After all, think about this. It's about God's holiness. It's about when they laid down the offering, God was expected to show up. Making it a place where the presence of God is back in our homes again. And getting the garbage out. Getting the evil out. John 17:17, let's look at this. Dedicate them. Now, there's other translations that say sanctify them, which is good. Same thing. Set them apart. Dedicate them to yourself by means of the truth. Your word is truth. So when Jesus talked about truth, he was talking about real truth. See, truth could be something different in our own minds. We could look at it and say, well, that's truth. But really, in God's mind, it's something. Truth is something that never changes. It's his truth. It'll never change. Not one dot or jittle will ever change from the truth of God's word. So when we look at that, he said, dedicate them to yourself by the means of truth. Your word is truth. And that's what we got to do with our children. Dedicate them to God according to biblical standards and truth. Let's compare this to the home. If the home is to be a place of daily worship as well, should it not be also a representative of God's holiness? Everything one watches on TV, along with every word and attitude, should be scrutinized under the same expectation of purity. I'm not saying that we throw the TVs out and just throw them off a cliff. What I'm saying is that we need to monitor what we watch and our children watch and be very careful. I don't care what you turn on TV nowadays. There's nothing that you can really watch anymore. It's terrible. You really got to sift through to find something good anymore. I have never, you just think, a movie you think is going to be really good and you turn it and it's just garbage. And you're going, oh man, what a waste. And there's so much of that Hollywood's doing. But there's a lot of things Hollywood's doing is trying to bring back in is wholesome movies to the family again. A lot of them are sick of the garbage that's going on in the movie scene, and they're trying to bring wholesome movies back. There's some good movies like I Can Only Imagine. How many have ever seen that movie yet? If you haven't seen it, go see it. It's an excellent movie. Mercy Me, the lead singer Mercy Me, it's about his life, what he grew up in. But it's an excellent movie. Movies like that, that people, that Hollywood stars are bringing back in to make it good for the family. Now let's look at this. In other words, if our places of worship are to be in our homes, we shouldn't treat it any other way. The home and the family need to be rededicated to God. Father, we rededicate our family and our homes to you. That's where the start comes. Have we all messed up? Yeah. Have we messed up as parents? Yeah. Has God holding it against us? No. But he expects you to make changes and do something different in order to bring God back in. It might seem uncomfortable at first because of things going the way they've been going. But as you trust in the Lord, it will change. Number two, the establishment of the home and family. Let's look at Proverbs 24:27. Prepare your work outside and get it ready for yourself in the field. And afterward, build your house and establish a home. The Passion says, go ahead, build your career, give yourself to your work. But if you put me first, God says, you'll see your family built up. Now, we know that every one of us have to work. Work is a part of it. That's not what God's talking about. It is biblical to work with your hands and to work hard. But he's talking about people that put that before they put their family. It's wrong. They're busy chasing dreams and chasing things, but their family is being neglected. This is something that we talk about. Raise up a child. How can you raise up a child when you're not home to raise them? I understand being a single parent, that there's a lot of single parents out there. We know that. But you can still raise the child the way he should be raised. Single parents, no matter what, God still expects us to take responsibility and ownership to do that. All too often, parents miss out on so many influential years of the child's life because they're pursuing worldly things, such as people going after larger homes and fancier cars and bigger bank accounts. There's nothing wrong with this, people. I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong. The truth is, there's nothing wrong at all with nice things. But what sacrifice or at what price are we going to pay to lose our families? I came from a family like that. My father worked all the time trying to make the almighty dollar. That was his life. And the excuse people make and say, well, I was doing it for you. Well, that's not biblical. Taking care of family and working to provide them is biblical. But when you're pursuing everything else at the neglect of the family or the marriage or the wife or the husband, that's wrong. It's out of whack. I believe God has ways of making up what you don't, what you're willing to lay down to take care of family. And so we see it happen all the time. I remember reading a story about Michael Douglas. His son ended up in prison, ended up in jail, drugs and everything else. You know what? He never had time for that boy. Never had time. And the son told him, he said, you never ever had time with me. You were so busy going off, doing all your movies, doing all this. And he just poured his heart out and told his dad how he thought. He was so messed up in drugs. And it happens like that, not only in the Hollywood scene, but it happens around the world in every family. But they're pursuing everything except pursuing what is God's heartbeat. And that's our children, our grandchildren, and our family. And we've got to not allow the enemy to steal what is important to God. So we see so much of that happening. It seems that parents are spending way too much time away from home, paying other people to pour their values into their children. You see it and you hear it all the time. There's nothing wrong with having nannies. My daughter Alicia is a nanny for a couple in Ione area in Ada. In that area right there in Ada, that's where she, beautiful home, rich, they're bankers. But those people pour into those children. When they're there, they pour into their lives. Those children mean a lot to them. They got their jobs and stuff, but they also know what is important in the lives of those children. But it can go the other way too, where people are pouring their values into your children. It may not be good values that are being poured into the family, into the children. So we see things like that. In turn, the parents buy their kids more stuff to fill the void. And so instead of being home, they say, well, I'll give them a present that'll appease them. Eventually, that doesn't work anymore. The bottom line is children don't need more stuff. What they desperately need is their parents' willingness to be a spiritual mentor. If not, how will the next generation learn to follow Jesus? How are they going to learn? True parenting begins when a child is a child, regardless of the cost. Thank you, Lord, that He has a way of making it work. Amen? Number three, the instruction of the home and family. This comes from the reference to raise up a child in the way he should go. Proverbs 1:8 says, pay a close attention, my child, to your father's wise words, and never forget your mother's instructions. You know, when I was growing up, my dad didn't know a thing. I thought to myself, that man doesn't know nothing. He must be the stupidest person on the face of the earth. But as I got older, I thought, you know what? Dad's getting smarter. Seems like there's a little wisdom coming into this man. I like it. As I got older, I realized my dad is really smart. And when I got older, I thought, Dad, he knows what's happening. So as we grow up and we see things as we grow up, we realize how much wisdom our parents really have. But when you're rebellious and you're living your own life and you're doing your own thing, you know, you don't think Dad or Mom have any scruples whatsoever when it comes to training or anything else. But you realize later on in life, when you look back and you're a parent and you have children, you look back and you say, Mom and Dad, I wish I'd have listened to you more. I wish I would have heard what my father was saying instead of saying he doesn't know what he's talking about. Would realize later that Dad knew what he was talking about. And so we realize some things that when we look at the influence, parents have to instruct and discipline their children. Too many parents have brought into the approach that the child should be their friend. Oh, well, that we're just friends. And so as parents, we treat our children, it's just a friendship relationship. Somebody has to be an authority. Somebody has to be the mentor. Somebody has to be the guideline for the family. There's nothing wrong with a friendship thing. But I know a lot of families in the past that they were friends and it didn't work out. They need to become the parent and need to parent the child instead of the child telling them what they need to do. Because that's what eventually will happen. Well, we're just on a friendship basis. There's also an unbiblical concept that a parent should allow children to do as they desire so they can learn from their mistakes. Well, we know that they're going to learn from their mistakes, but that's not the way we want to push it, right? Please note that the instruction from Proverbs says this, to lead a child in the way that he should go, not would go. So that means that we have to lead them in the way they should go, not would go. And we know that they would go the wrong way sometimes, but it's not the way they should go and the way we let them. And that's when we trust the Lord to take care of them when we leave. Proverbs 11:11. By the blessing number 4, write this down. Just about skip that. The influence of the home and family. What impression are we leaving our children? This comes from the reference, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That means we pray as parents that we have made such a strong impression on their lives because of Jesus, because of our faith, because of who we are, that impression or that influence will be so strong in their lives that they'll realize. When I talk to a lot of people through the years that have walked away from God, that are raised in biblical homes, they remembered. Oh, they might have fussed and said, you know, my parents are a bunch of religious fanatics, you know, they just push me here and push me to go to church and blah, 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 blah. And they'll use every excuse under the sun. But what they don't forget is that down the road, they remember, you know, Mom and Dad were true. Mom and Dad weren't perfect, but they loved God. I seen it in their life. I seen it in the way they lived. Yeah, they messed up. They made mistakes. They probably said things. They shouldn't have did things. We all have. But there's something about the other side of that that impressed them and influenced them so much. What do we influence our children to be? This is the things that we look at as we've grown up in our own families. And the things we said we would never do what others have done. And we find ourselves doing the same thing. And I always said to myself, I'm never going to be like my dad. I'm never going to do what my father did. And I did some of the same things my dad did. Why? Because we never dealt with the generational curse that was passed down, down, and down until I broke it and broke the curse and said, nope. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Rodney's, my brother's been working with a bunch of different people. They've been painting big, huge, rich homes down in Branson area. He's down in Missouri, and he was telling me a story. He's got these backslidden Christians, no kidding. They've been raised in the Assemblies of God, and they're the worst of any of them, the worldly people, when they have turned their back on God and are bitter at the world or bitter at everybody. And they just gave him such a hard time, just making his life miserable. Well, the one guy was living with this girl, And they were living in a hotel. He was running out of money. He's running out of everything. They didn't have food. She was going to get a job working for Applebee's. She didn't have a uniform. She didn't have anything. And Rodney said, you know what I did? I took money and I went up to this guy and I said, you take, he didn't give him any money. He took his hand and he said, I want you to pray with me. He said, tomorrow, all this stuff is going to change. That's what the Lord told him. So he grabbed, and the guy's looking at him, and he's looking at his hand, and he's wondering if he should pray with him. And he said, okay. So they prayed, and Rodney said, by tomorrow, all this stuff is all going to change overnight. Man, that guy got back to him and said he had enough money to pay his rent. He had enough money to buy groceries. They had enough money to buy her a uniform to go to Applebee's and work. They had money to do everything. It blew this guy's mind so much that it brought him back to the Lord. See, the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. The goodness of God. When we are good to other people, whether we feel they deserve it or not, and we're good to them, they see God and the goodness of God through our lives. And so when I prayed for this guy, and Rodney said, I didn't have any money to give him myself. I'd spend it all on driving 100 miles, round trip. But he said, I did know how to pray, and I prayed with him, and the next day, everything they wanted came to pass. God was exalted through that. God was exalted, and those people came back to God because of the miracle that happened. It's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. So, what am I saying? This is what I'm saying. Influence makes all the difference. It comes in the family home. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 11:11. By the blessing of the influence of the upright and God's favor because of them, the city is exalted. Change that and put the family is exalted. Because in the city is families. It is you and I that makes all the difference as being upright before the Lord that a city or a family is going to be exalted because of our testimony for Jesus Christ. Amen? Because of what we do, whether people like it or not, you stand your ground. You don't compromise. You don't say, well, whatever. You stand your ground. You pray for those that have gone astray. You lift them up. You pray for them. You stand your ground in truth with God. And if you will trust God, God will turn it all around in his favor. I believe that. I believe that God is restoring the family back in the last days. The sons and daughters that have gone astray are coming back. They're going to come back to the family. They're going to come back and they're going to serve God. Lord, this is what we put our trust and our faith in. This is what we believe. This is the heritage that we want to leave. The bottom line is this, people. The bottom line is that after children leave the home, the influence or the impressions, both positive and negative, live on the lives of future generations. In other words, if a child's expected to not depart from whatever Proverbs 22 says, biblical teachings, then they must be modeled in the lives of the parents. It has to be modeled to them. As the old saying goes, true lessons in life are usually caught more than they're taught. What we do, the things that we do to influence, to leave an impression, I'll tell you, there's times in my life I felt like I didn't influence, I didn't leave a good impression, I didn't do it right, I seemed like the bad parent. Or there's always going to be that time in your life when you're children. But when you stand with God and you stand and you say, Lord, I will do everything in my power to be the man, to be the husband, to be the father, to be everything I can be for my family, God will be there and shows up. There's a challenge to us all here, even me, a challenge to us. There's some things that if they're not working, you got to change it. Now, I know a lot of us, our kids are growing up, they're gone, but we pray, we're believing God for them, we're believing that they will serve God with all their hearts, that one day they will find a church or get in a church or do something. But most of all important, that they will come back to God. That's what we pray. That's what we believe, that they will know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But it's never too late. It's never too late to change and allow God to bring change into our families. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we come to you and we realize, Lord, that there's so many broken families. There's so many broken lives. Father, there's so many broken foundations that only you can fix. Lord, we realize that we have made mistakes as parents. We've messed up. We didn't do it right all the time. We didn't say it right all the time. Sometimes our example wasn't the greatest. But Father, we pray that even through those times, our heart was to serve and honor you. Lord, you're the key. You're the key through us to see the changes happen in the day we live. To see the legacy, the influence, the impressions to be put into our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and those in our family. Lord, not only in our families, but in our churches, in our homes, in our places we work, we know, Father, that even there we can leave the legacy of what it means to be the parent for truth. This morning, Father, this is not about condemnation, but this is about restoration. Father, I'm asking you to bring restoration back into the home. Bring restoration. Bring our children back. Bring our grandchildren back. Bring our families back that have been scattered, Lord. We pray that you will bring them back into the fold. Bring them back into faith. Bring them back into these things that, Lord, you call holy and righteous. And Father, help us to be the example and the legacy that we leave to them before we leave this world for generation after generation after generation. It starts with us, Father. It starts with us. It starts with prayer. It starts with example. It starts with standing on truth and righteousness and standing for what's right. So, Father, this morning I pray, forgive us, cleanse us from all the areas where we missed it, and help us to be the people you called us to be in our families. Thank you, Father, that you are our Heavenly Father. You are the greatest example. Thank you. And Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.